This week's parsha is Parshas Boy, and we'll focus our shir this week in the first pasuk of this week's parsha. Pasuk on chapter 10, verse number 1 says, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe." Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Boy hel Paroi, come to Paroi." The Torah does not tell you what Moshe Rabbeinu should do when he comes to Paroi, but Rashi explains that Vehisra boy, that you should come to Paroi and warn him about the impending plague of Arba, of locust. The pasuk continues, "Ki anich badat yasdi boy," because I hardened his heart, the slave avodov, and the heart of his servants, leman shisi oisoisai ele bekirboy, in order to put these signs of mine bekirboy in his midst or inside him. We will try to explain why the Torah writes down Boy el Paroi, come to Paroi, and it doesn't write down Leich el Paroi, go to Paroi. What is the difference between Boy and Leich? And also, we'll try to find out what is the connection of the Pasuk, meaning the Torah is telling you, go to Paroi, and according to Rashi, it means to warn him, because it doesn't say why to go to Paroi. But then the Pasuk continues and says, because I hardened his heart and the heart of his servants in order for me to put the signs, meaning in order for me to be able to give him the plagues. Then how does that continue with the interpretation that we normally say, Boy el Paroi, come to Paroi? The simple answer is that even though Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to go to Paroi and warn him, and normally Moshe Rabbeinu should have expected that the warning will take effect and Paro is going to release the Jewish people, Hashem is pre-telling Moshe Rabbeinu that even though you are going to warn Paroi, nonetheless, Paroi is not going to listen to you because I hardened his heart and the heart of his servant in order for me to be able to bring the rest of the plagues. Meaning that Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu already before he warns Paroi that his warning won't take effect at all. The Imre Eish asks a very strong question. He says, if Hashem is already telling Moshe Rabbeinu that no matter what Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paroi, no matter how he warns Paroi, nonetheless, Paroi still won't let the Jewish people go, then why bother to send Moshe Rabbeinu to warn Paroi about the impending plague? If Hashem already told Moshe Rabbeinu that Paroi won't listen, just go over and send the plague to Paroi. Why bother to tell Moshe Rabbeinu to warn Paroi about the upcoming plague? The Imre Eish answers based on the Ramban in Bereishis chapter 46, verse number 15. There the pasuk says that the total children of Leah that came down to Egypt were 36. Rashi comments that if you are going to count individually all the children of Leah, you're only going to find 32. So Rashi says that the Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Kof Chov Gimel Amud Alef 123a, asks this question. And there the Gemara says that the 33rd person that came into Egypt was Yocheved, the daughter of Levi and the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu, which she was born at the gates of Egypt. We know that the Jewish people were in Egypt for 210 years, meaning that from the time Yaakov came to Egypt until the time that we were redeemed, it was 210 years. And we also know that Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years old when we left Egypt. Then if we count 210 minus 80, since Yocheved gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu, that means that Yocheved was 130 years old when she gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. Then the Evin Ezra asks a question, why doesn't the Torah relate this great miracle that this 130-year-old woman, Yocheved, gave birth to a child? When Sarah Imenu gave birth to Yitzchak, and she was 90 years old, the Torah relates this great miracle that happened, that Hashem blessed Sarah and she gave birth to Yitzchak at the age of 90. And here we have Yocheved giving birth to Moshe Rabbeinu at the age of 130, and yet nothing is mentioned in the Torah. The Torah doesn't even mention that there was a miracle like that. We have to make our counting in order to be able to find out the miracle. But the Torah itself doesn't write this great miracle. The Rabban answers that, Oy Malach, I will tell you, Dover Shoemes, a true statement, Ubor Batorah, you could verify it by looking in the Torah, that the miracles that are done for a prophet, that a prophet will predict them in advance, or an angel will come and tell you that this is going to happen, those miracles the Torah writes down. But miracles that are done by themselves, when Hashem wants to help a righteous person, or Hashem wants to destroy an evil person, those miracles are not written in the Torah, and they're also not written in the prophets. Meaning, according to the simple interpretation, is that Hashem makes a lot of miracles every day. The whole creation and the fact that the sun gets up in the morning and sets at night, that itself is a miracle. And the fact that there are sick people that are miraculous healed, so Hashem makes miracles every day. Therefore, the fact that a 130-year-old woman gave birth to a child, true, that's a miracle, but it's not noteworthy to be written in the Torah, because as we mentioned, Hashem makes miracles every day. The Torah only writes miracles that were previously predicted by an angel or by the prophet. Meaning Sarah Imenu giving birth at the age of 90, this was predicted in the Torah. Therefore, the Torah relates that it actually happened, but miracles that were not predicted in the Torah, like Yocheved giving birth to Moshe Rabbeinu, those miracles, even though they are great, Hashem doesn't bother to write them in the Torah, even though they may be a greater miracle. The Imre Eish explains that the reason for Hashem writing the miracle in the Torah is to teach everybody that Hashem is the one that is doing the miracle. Meaning that since the scoffers, the people who do not believe in Torah, could say that it wasn't a miracle done by a supreme being as Hashem, it was a miracle done by nature or by other things. Therefore, when they see a miracle, they do not become convinced that Hashem is the true God and He made the miracle, because they could say that this is just freak of nature or something that happened by itself. But when it's predicted in the Torah and comes true, then everybody knows that this miracle came directly from Hashem. Therefore, since Avraham Avinu is the one that made Hashem's name known in the world, Hashem wanted for everybody to know that He is the one that is giving a child to Avraham and Sarah. Therefore, Hashem sent an angel to foretell to Sarah Imenu that she is going to have a child, and the Torah records it. Like that, when people see that she actually had a child, everybody knows that this child came directly because of Hashem's promise, and He's the one that gave this child to Avraham and Sarah. But there was no purpose like that on the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu. There was no purpose to tell that Hashem gave a child to Yocheved at the age of 130. According to this, says Sifre Imre Eish, we understand why Hashem made sure that Moshe Rabbeinu warns Paroi, even though Hashem knows that Paroi won't listen to the warning. Because since part of the plagues is to let everybody know that this plague comes directly from Hashem, that people should not mistaken and believe that this plague is coming via other gods or via freak of nature, because people could easily mistake and say that the infestation of locusts was a natural phenomena as it happens every so often in Egypt. Therefore, Hashem had to pre-warn Paroi to tell him that I am the one that is sending the locusts in order for you to know that I'm the one who controls everything. Therefore, it was required that Moshe Rabbeinu pre-warn Paroi in order that everybody, Paroi and his servants and all the scoffers later on know that Hashem is the one that made those miracles. The problem that I have with this Imre Eish is that we know that in three plagues Hashem did not give any warning to Paroi. In the plague of Kinim, lice, in the plague of Shechin, boils, and in the plague of Choshech, darkness, Paroi doesn't get any warning or gets any prediction. And yet, everybody knew that those miracles came from Hashem. True that the Mefarshim explained that the reason that Hashem did not give any warning on the third and the sixth and the ninth plague is because of the dictum that three strikes you out, meaning that if you ignore Hashem's warning for two times, then in the third time Hashem doesn't give you a chance to do what He wants and He punishes you anyways. But Hashem could have sent a statement that He's going to punish without giving them a warning and without giving Him a chance to send out the Jewish people. Just the fact that He gave a statement that I'm sending lies, then everybody would know that this miracle came from Hashem. And yet we do not find that Hashem gave a statement to Paroi that he's sending lies. But going back to the Imre Esh himself says that now we could understand the difference of why the Torah doesn't write down Leichel Paroi, go to Paroi, and the Torah instead says Boy El Paroi, come to Paroi. And he explains based on the Tehillim chapter 113, verse number 3, where there it says, Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mevoyoy, Mehulol Shem Hashem, which we translate, Mimizrach Shemesh, from the sun rising, Ad Mevoyoy, until the sun setting, Mehulol Shem Hashem, the name of Hashem should be praised. And the question is, why there it's written Mevoyoy as the sun setting? Why doesn't it write down Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Maravoy, from the east of the sun until the west of the sun, which is the setting of the sun? Why did David HaMelech use the language Mevoyoy, it's coming, to signify the setting of the sun? Why didn't he just say Maravoy, the west of the sun? What was the meaning of the language coming of the sun? And he answers based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dav Tzadik Alev Amet Beis, 91b. Because there the Gemara says, Omale Antanunis Lerebi, Antanunis ask Rabbi. Antanunis, according to most traditions, is Marcus Aurelius, the emperor of Rome, and he befriended Rabbi, and according to certain opinions, he actually converted secretly to Judaism. He asked, why does the sun rise in the east and sets in the west? So Rabbi asked him, I have ipcha nam ocha avam rasle. If Hashem would have made it the opposite, meaning that the sun should rise in the west and set in the east, you would have also asked me the same question. Meaning that Rabbi is saying that Hashem had to choose one way for the sun to rise, the other way for the sun to set, and it happened that he chose that the sun should rise in the east and set in the west. Omar Lei Antanunis tells Rabbi that Oche Ko Imnalei, that's what I mean to say. Meaning you didn't understand my question. My question is, why does the sun have to set in the west? Meaning, why did Hashem make it that the sun should set at all? Why couldn't the sun be shining all day? Rabbi answered them, Kedeliten Shalom Lekoina, that the sun sets in the west in order to greet its creator. As it's written in the Pasuk, in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse number 6, Utsvo Hashomayim, that even the hosts of heaven, the stars of heaven, Lechom Ishtachavim, bow down to you. And the fact that the sun goes out from view, it's as it will be bowing down to Hashem, giving up its light in honor of Hashem. Therefore Hashem made it that the sun should set in order for it to bow down to Hashem. And since we know that in the Beis HaMikdash, the Shechina, the Divine Presence, which was in the Holy of Holies, was in the west side of the temple, therefore the sun comes to the west side and then disappears from view in order to afford honor and in reverence of Hashem. Sefer Imre Esh explains that now, according to this Gemara, we could understand why the Torah writes down here, Boy El Paroi, come to Paroi, and doesn't say, Leich El Paroi, go to Paroi, because we see that David HaMelech chose the language Mevoyoi, the language coming to the west side. And the reason that he chose Mevoyo to the west side is because the west side is where the sun affords Hashem honor. So that is the important place. That means that the sun is going from the east side until the coming until the west side, which is important because the west side is where the sun affords honor to Hashem. That means that the word mevoyoi, the word coming, means a place where you are going to come to afford honor to Hashem. Therefore, here too, Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, not leichel paroi, just go to paroi. I want you to boil paroi. I want you to come to paroi, because by you coming to paroi, you are going to afford me honor. Because since we just mentioned that Hashem has to pre-warn paroi, because otherwise people will think that this miracle of arba, of locusts, is just a happenstance. It's not something that Hashem created or Hashem made. Therefore, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, boil paroi, come to paroi. By you coming to paroi, you are going to afford me honor. Because even though I know paroi won't listen to the warning, but now everybody will know that this plague came from me. And once they know this plague comes from me, my name is going to be sanctified. So, boil paroi, come to paroi, because the purpose is a great purpose, and the purpose is to afford me honor in the same way that the sun, when it comes to the west, affords honor to Hashem, and it's called mevoyoi, it's coming. So to boil paroi, come to paroi, and that will afford me honor. According to this Imre Esh, you could understand what the Baal HaTurim means, because the Baal HaTurim also asks this question, why it's written the language boy. And the Baal HaTurim notes that this is not the only place that is written the language boy. He notes that in Tzfardeya, in chapter 7, verse 26, by the plague of frogs, and in Dever, in chapter 9, verse number 1, by the plague of pestilence, there it's written also the language boyal paroi, come to paroi. Therefore, the Baal HaTurim distinguishes and says that depending where Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu to give the message to paroi, that is when Hashem changes the language to the language boy. Meaning that we know that the first 9 plagues come in 3 sets of 3 plagues. Dam, blood, Tzfardeya, frogs, kinim, lice are one set. Oroif, wild animals, dever, pestilence, and shchin, boils, are the second set. Borod, hail, arbe, locust, and choyshech are the third set. Makas Bechoires is one independent, which was the plague of all plagues. And we know that the first of each set, meaning that the plague of blood, the plague of wild animals, and the plague of hail, the warning was given to paroi in the morning at the river. The second of each plague, meaning the plague of blood, the plague of pestilence, and the plague of locust, was given to paroi at the palace. And for the third plague of each series, there was never any warning, because once paroi didn't listen to Hashem 2 times, Hashem automatically punished them the third time, because each set of plague served for a specific message. After paroi refused to listen the message of Hashem 2 times, Hashem automatically punished them the third time. The Baal HaTurim notes that the 3 times that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, the language boy, are always when Moshe Rabbeinu is required to give the warning to the palace. Therefore, the Baal HaTurim says that when Moshe goes to the palace, Hashem uses the language boy, not the language leich, but the language boy. But the Baal HaTurim doesn't explain why Hashem specifically uses the language boy when he's going to the palace. But according to what the Imre Esh said now, that when you say the language boy is a language of affording honor, we could say that the language boy is used when Moshe Rabbeinu is going to the palace because Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu to afford honor to paroi by going to the palace. That when we want to afford honor to somebody, we tell him, come to that person. And therefore, Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, when he goes to the palace, boy el paroi, come to paroi to afford him honor. And the reason Hashem is affording honor to paroi is because through paroi, Hashem's name is going to be sanctified. Because by giving the warning and paroi won't listen and Hashem will give the plague, then everybody will know the plague comes from Hashem. And therefore, Hashem's name is going to be sanctified. Therefore, boil paroi, give honor to paroi, because paroi is going to be the vehicle of Hashem's name being sanctified. Therefore, all three times that Moshe Rabbeinu goes to the palace, Hashem uses the term boy al paroi, come to paroi, to teach Moshe Rabbeinu that you have to give him honor because through him my name will be sanctified. There is a beautiful answer from the Kotzk Rebbe, which Sefer Yitur HaTorah brings down and Sefer Ma'ayon HaTorah brings down, but according to what we just heard from Baal Turim, we are going to have a question on this Kotzk Rebbe's answer. The Kotzk Rebbe says that it's written here, boy al paroi, come to paroi, and it's not written Lech el Paroi, go to Paroi, to symbolize a very important thing. Because since the Pasuk really starts, Vayoymer Hashem el Moshe, that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, and then the Pasuk continues, Boy el Paroi, come to Paroi, had the Torah written down, Lech el Paroi, go to Paroi, the Torah would have meant that you are distancing yourself from me. Because when I am with you and I say go somewhere, that means that you are distancing yourself from Hashem, and you are going to Paroi, that Hashem wants you to get away from His spiritual presence and go to Paroi. But Hashem is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, boy al Paroi, come to Paroi, Hashem is signifying that no matter where you go, I will be there. You are coming with me. You are not distancing yourself from me by going to Paroi, you are actually coming together with me to Paroi. Boy al Paroi, come to Paroi, meaning that even though you are going to Paroi, I'm still going to be there and you are coming with me. And he explains that this is the idea of Meloi Kol HaOretz Kavodoi, that the glory of Hashem is everywhere. Therefore, even though I'm sending you to Paroi, I'm not telling you go to Paroi, I'm only telling you come to Paroi, because I will be there too. The language go means you are here, you are together now, and we want you to go somewhere. Distance yourself from me, go somewhere. But when I tell you come, that means I will be there in the place that you are going to go. Therefore, Hashem uses the language boy al paroi, come to paroi, to teach Moshe Rabbeinu that Hashem will be there too. The question on this Kotzk Rebbe is that we do find sometimes that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu lech el paroi. Specifically, we find it on the first plague, the plague of blood, that Hashem tells him on chapter 7, verse number 15, Lech el paroi baboiker, go to paroi in the morning, that he is going out to the river. So we see that the language lech is used sometimes, and if Hashem is telling Oiz boy, because Hashem is giving the message that Malek kol haaretz kavodoi, that Oiz, Hashem is everywhere, then why did Hashem use there the language lech el paroi, go to paroi? Sefer Beir Maimon Chaim gives a very interesting interpretation why Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu boy al paroi, come to paroi, and he explains in the same way that come to paroi means to afford him honor, but he explains that it was required for Hashem to continue with the verse and say that you should afford him honor because I hardened his heart and the heart of his servants in order not to let the Jewish people go. And he explains based on the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Kof Ches, Amud Aleph 28a. There the Gemara says that Rabbi asked Yehoshua ben Korcha, Bemeh Rachta Yomim, how did you merit to have a long life? Meaning, what did you do special that you had a long life? Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha got upset at Rabbi and asked him, Katzto Bechayai, you begrudge me a long life. Why are you asking me why I have a long life? Hashem gives me a long life because he wants to. Are you begrudging me the fact that I live that long? So Rabbi answers, I'm not begrudging you for having this long life. That the fact that you have a long life must be because of a reason, and that reason is Torah, and I have to learn what a person must do in order to merit a long life. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha answered him that I had a long life because I never gazed upon the face of an evil person. Because Rabbi Yochanan says that Asur le'adam leistakel bidmus adam rasha, that it's prohibited for a person to gaze in the face of an evil person. And Rabbi Yochanan brings a proof from a pasuk in Malachim 2, Kings 2, chapter 3, verse number 14, where there we find that Yehoshaphat, the righteous king of Yehuda, and Jehoram, the son of Ahav, which was the evil king of Israel, the evil king of the 10 tribes, they decided to join forces against a common enemy, which was the king Mesha of Moab, and they found out that Elisha is in the neighborhood, and they both decided to go to Elisha, and Elisha tells Yehoram that Lulei Pnei Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda Ninoise, were it not for the esteemed presence of Yehoshaphat, king of Yehuda, Imabit Elecho Vimereko, would I gaze at you, or would I see you? Meaning that if King Yehoshaphat, which was a righteous king, would not have been here, then I wouldn't even gaze at you, because you are an evil person, and I'm not allowed to gaze at an evil person. So we see clearly that you're not allowed to gaze at the face of an evil person. The Gemara continues and says that if you gaze at the face of an evil person, in of chaos, your eyes become weak. And the Gemara brings a proof from Yitzchak, that we see that in Bereishis chapter 27, verse number 1, it's written that when Yitzchak became older, his eyes became weak from seeing. And Rabbi Elazar says that the reason that his eyes became weak from seeing is because Yitzchak always gazed at the face of Esav. Even though, according to the simple interpretation, Yitzchak at that point did not yet know that Esav was evil, but nonetheless, the fact that you gaze at the face of an evil person, that itself causes you harm, that you start losing your sight. And Rava brings another pasuk to prove that, and the pasuk is in Mishlei, chapter 18, verse number 5, that says, Seis Pnei Rasha, to look, to regard the face of a wicked person, Loi Toiv, is not good. So you see that you're not allowed to gaze at the face of a wicked person. Sefer Be'er Maim Chaim says that this was Moshe Rabbeinu's concern. Moshe Rabbeinu already has seen that Hashem gives this warning to Paroi, and Paroi says that he's going to let the Jewish people go. And yet, Paroi reneges on his promise, and Paroi disregards Hashem's statement. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that if he goes to Paroi and he looks at him, that will affect him. The fact that he's gazing at the evil person, that will cause him harm, and that will affect him. Therefore, Hashem tells him, Boy El Paroi, you could go to Paroi, you could afford him honor, that you could look at him even. Why? Because I'm the one who hardened his heart and the heart of his servants in order not to let the Jewish people go. You cannot regard him yet as a Rasha, as an evildoer, because he is not doing it out of his free will. He is doing his evilness, that he is not sending the Jewish people out, only because I hardened his heart. And the reason I hardened his heart is because I want to make sure that I'm able to send my signs, all the 10 plagues amongst the Egyptians, because the 10 plagues aren't really a message only for the Egyptians. The 10 plagues also are a message for the Jews, that the Jewish people have to see that Hashem is able to change nature in order for the Jewish people to believe in Hashem. Not only for the Egyptians to be punished, but the plagues also had the fact that the children and the grandchildren will tell what Hashem did, and that will cause a Kiddush Hashem, a glorifying of Hashem's name. The Rabbeinu Bachir also says that when it says, Boy El Paroi, come to Paroi, means go to the palace of Paroi, but he brings a different reason why it's written specifically Boy El Paroi in these cases, come to Paroi, and it's not written Lech El Paroi, go to Paroi. And he explains the reason is based on what is written on chapter 7, verse number 23, after the plague of blood. After the plague of blood, it's written Va'ifem Paroi, Paroi turned, Va'yavo El Beisoi, and he went to his house, Va'loshos Liboi Gamlozois, and he disregarded this also, meaning that he disregarded the plague of blood. The Rabbeinu Bachia asks, why does the Torah have to give such a long statement to tell us that Paroi disregarded the plague of blood? The Torah could have just said that Veloishos Liboi Gamlozois, that Paroi disregarded this plague of blood. Why does the Torah have to tell me that Paroi turned and he went to his house and he disregarded also the plague of blood? Therefore, Rabbeinu Bach explains that Torah is telling me why Paroi disregarded the plague of blood. Because Paroi went to his house, and his house was a beautiful house. His house had a lot of comfort. His house was surrounded with servants, nothing lacking in this house. His house was a source of pride for him. That caused Paroi to disregard the plague of blood. When a person is in his comfort level, is in his own place, and he's very comfortable, it's very hard for him to see the plight of others. Had Paroi not been comfortable in his palace, then Paroi would have felt the plight of his people. Maybe he would have let the people go. But the fact that he went to his house, that he went to his comfort place, that he went to this beautiful edifice that he had, that itself caused Paroi to disregard the word of Hashem. They tell a story of this rabbi, which unfortunately I forgot the name, that he went in winter to collect money for poor people, and he went in one of the coldest day of the winter to this house of this wealthy man. He knocked on the door, and this wealthy man called the rabbi to come inside and they will talk. The rabbi insisted to stay outside by the door in the middle of winter. It was very chilling cold, and the rabbi is explaining to this rich person the situation of every person that he's collecting for, and the story is getting long. Meanwhile, this wealthy person staying at the door is getting cold and he's shivering, and he asks the rabbi, please come in and we'll sit and be comfortable, and then we could discuss this matter further. But the rabbi declined the offer, and the rabbi said that I want to please continue what I want to say right here where we are. And the more the rabbi talks, the more this person is shivering. Finally, this person asked the rabbi, please come in because I can't take the cold anymore. And the rabbi explained to this wealthy person that the reason that the rabbi insisted to be by the door and not go inside is that if we would have gone inside right away and we would have sat down in the lounge chairs and we would have been by the fireplace and enjoy the heat, then it will be very hard for this wealthy person to understand the plight of the poor, to understand how the poor people feel cold. But now that we were outside by the door and this wealthy person was shivering and this wealthy person was feeling in his bones the cold, now this wealthy person could relate to the poor person who doesn't have any heat and is shivering inside his house. Only by feeling that pain on himself, he's able to understand what other people are going through. And according to Rabbeinu Bachya, that is exactly what Paroi could not understand. The fact that Paroi came to his house and he came to his palace, which was a beautiful palace, it was a source of his pride, that caused them a comfort level, that caused them not to understand the plight of the other Egyptian people, that the Egyptian people are suffering for the plagues. That did not bother Paroi because he was not affected, because as soon as he came to his house, his comfort level went up. His happiness by seeing his surroundings was so great that he could not relate to the plight of his people. Therefore, he wouldn't let the Jewish people go out. Therefore, every time Hashem wanted to give a warning in the palace, Hashem uses the exact language that gave Paroi the comfort level, and Hashem says the language, Boy al Paroi, go to Paroi and warn him inside his comfortable palace to shatter his place of refuge, to shatter his Dalat Amas, his four cubits, where there he feels a sense of comfort, he feels a sense of pride. Exactly in that place I want you to go and upset his balance, upset his sense of pride, which is his palace. Therefore, every time you go to the palace, Hashem gives the warning, Boy al Paroi, come to Paroi to upset his comfort level. The Satmar Rebbe, the Beirach Moshe, gives a different answer why it's written, Boy al Paroi, come to Paroi. And his answer is based on what the Belzer Rebbe brings down on the Pasuk in our Parsha, which is on chapter 12, verse number 28, after Hashem commands us to make a Passover offering. The Pasuk says, Vayelcho vayasu bnei Yisrael, and the Jewish people went and they did, kashet tzivo Hashem as Moshe v'Aharon, like Hashem commanded Moshe and Aharon, kein asu, so did they do. The Pasuk already says that the Jewish people did like Hashem commanded Moshe v'Aharon. What's the Pasuk adding by the words Kain asu, so did they do? Rashi says that Moshe and Aharon also did the same thing. Meaning that af Moshe and Aharon, Kain asu, that Moshe and Aharon also did this. And the question that the Belzer Rebbe is trying to answer is, why is the Torah telling me that Moshe and Aharon also did the Korban Pesach? Sure, they did the Korban Pesach. Why do you think they wouldn't do? If it tells you that the Jewish people did the Korban Pesach, automatically Moshe and Aharon will be included in the Korban Pesach. Then why is it saying again that Cain also, so did the Jewish people do? The Belzer Rebbe explains, based on a story that happened to the Noam Elimelech, Rebbe Elimelech Mezensk, where he once was visiting a town, and when he left the town, all the townspeople went by foot accompanying his wagon. And when the wagon got outside of town, the Noam Elimelech got down from the wagon and he also walked together with the people that were presumably accompanying him. The people started wondering, what is going on? Why is the Noam Elimelech walking with us? We are accompanying the Noam Elimelech. Why does he want to walk with us? The Noam Elimelech answered that when he saw that the people are going and accompanying him with such devotion and such alacrity and such warmth, they were making this mitzvah in such a high level, he wanted to be part of that mitzvah. Therefore, he himself went down the wagon and accompanied the wagon outside of town because he wanted to take part of the mitzvah, because he realized how special they were performing this mitzvah. And this is what the pasuk means, that the Jewish people did like Hashem commanded Moshe and Aharon, and Rashi explains that the Jewish people did it with every detail, and Moshe and Aharon saw how happy the Jewish people are in performing this mitzvah, with how much fervor and devotion they're doing this mitzvah, how very meticulous they are in the performance of the mitzvah. Then Moshe and Aharon decided to make this mitzvah in the same level as the Jewish people. Meaning, normally Moshe Rabbeinu did the mitzvah in a high level, but now that Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the Jewish people are doing this mitzvah in such a great level, then even Moshe and Aharon did this mitzvah like the Jewish people performed this mitzvah. And according to this idea, the Berach Moshe answers the Yerushalmi Rosh Hashanah Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, what the Yerushalmi there says, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Shomer Mishmarta Shel Torah, that Kaviyochel Hashem Himself keeps the Torah, keeps the mitzvahs of Torah. And the question that the Berach Moshe is trying to answer, what does it mean that Hashem keep Torah? The whole purpose for us to make the mitzvahs is to give pleasure to Hashem, that He said something to us, He gave us a commandment, and we are happy to fulfill His bidding. But what does it mean that Hashem Himself keeps the Torah? And the answer is the same way as the story from the Noam Elimelech, that once Hashem sees that the Jewish people perform the mitzvahs with such a fervor, such a devotion, then Hashem is so pleased that He wants to be part of that thing that the Jewish people do. So therefore, it's kaviyachol that Hashem also keeps the mitzvah. According to this, He answers what is written in this week's parsha. This week's parsha is written, Boy el paroi, come to paroi. It's not written, Leich el paroi, go to paroi. Because since Hashem saw in which devotion Moshe Rabbeinu goes to paroi, that even though Moshe Rabbeinu is skeptical about going to paroi, but nonetheless, once Hashem tells him that he has to go to paroi, then Moshe Rabbeinu goes to paroi with such huge devotion and such fervor, then Hashem wants to join Moshe Rabbeinu in doing this mitzvah. Therefore, it doesn't say Leich el paroi, go to paroi, which shows distancing from paroi. He says Boy el paroi, come to paroi, meaning me and you are going to come together to paroi. That the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was doing this mitzvah in such a great way, therefore it's written Boy el paroi, come to paroi, and it's not written Leich el paroi, go to paroi, because kaviyochel Hashem Himself came with Moshe Rabbeinu to paroi, because Hashem saw with how much fervor and how much devotion Moshe Rabbeinu is going to perform the mitzvah of Hashem by going to paroi. Sefer Torah's Emes from Rabbi Yehuda Leib Eger, the grandson of Rabbi Akiva Eger, says that the Torah, by saying Boy el paroi and not Leich el paroi, the Torah wants to give a very important message to the Jewish people. Because if you take the numerical value of boy and the numerical value of paroi together, that is the same numerical value as the word Moshiach. Because Moshiach is numerical value 358, because the mem is 40, the shin is 300, that's 340, the yud is 10, that's 350, and the ches is 8, that's 358. And this is the numerical value of boy and paroi, meaning boy is numerical value 3, because the base is 2, the aleph is 1, that's 3, and paroi is numerical value 355, because the pay is 80 and the resh is 200, that's 280, the ayin is 70, that's 350, and the hay is 5, that's 355. So if you put boy and paroi, then you get a total of 358, which is the numerical value of Moshiach. And according to the Sefer Torah Semes, the hint that Hashem is giving to Moshe Rabbeinu by telling him, boy el paroi, come to paroi, and not leich el paroi, and not go to paroi, is because Hashem is trying to tell Moshe Rabbeinu that this is aschalte de geulte. This is the beginning of the full redemption. Meaning that our redemption from Egypt is the model for the future redemption when Moshiach is going to come. In the same way that in this redemption from Egypt, Hashem performed great miracles to save us from enslavement of the Egyptian, so too, when Moshiach will come, Hashem will again perform great miracles in order to redeem us and save us from foreign influences and from foreign subjugations. Therefore, the Torah specifically uses the language boy el paroi, because boy and paroi are numerical value of Moshiach, and that is to teach the Jewish people that even though at this juncture we won't be redeemed completely, but you should know that this is the beginning of the Geula, the beginning of the full redemption. Therefore, Hashem specifically chose the language boy and not the language leich. And Hashem Yisborach should help that in the same way that Mefarshim write down that when you read the Parsha, that Parsha has influences for the future, that since now we are reading the Parsha of our redemption from Egypt, and since this was the Aschalta de Geulta, the beginning of our full redemption, then Hashem Yisborach should help that Moshiach should come, Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt, Bimheira Bayomeinu Amen.